body today. I guess today I have some good news and I have some bad news. All right, the good news is that if you want to be a servant of the Most High God, we're going to talk about that today.
Amen.
And if you don't want to be a servant of the Most High God, too bad for you. Amen. And so that's what we're going to talk about, what it is to be a servant of the Most High God. Jesus, as you know, we're going through the kingdom parables, and we're in this place where Jesus is talking about what we need to do to be truly connected to God. Now, he's already making a connection with us. He already has us. And he cannot love you any more than what he's already loved you. The question is do you love him back?
Amen.
Right? It's not that he doesn't love you. He does love you. He loves you to the utmost. He loves you so much. Not only did he die for your sin, but he rose again on the third day for your sanctification.
Amen.
Right? He loves you. So get that straight. So it's not whether he loves you. The question is do you love him? Right? Because he can't do any more than what he's already done. But how about us as a servant? Do you even consider yourself a servant of the Most High God? That's very important. In fact, it tells us in 1 Peter verse 4, I think I have 17 written down here, for the time has come. Amen? Who knows that the time's come? The time has come that the judgment in the house of God, and if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that do not obey the gospel of God? Let me ask you this. The judgment of God needs to start right now. We need to settle some things in our mind, in our heart. Because, folks, the church has gone sideways.
Yes, amen.
All right? The ones who are supposed to be born again, supposed to be the hands and the feet, the love and the power of Jesus Christ, living through us, somewhere we have lost our way.
Yeah.
We've stopped being servants of the Most High God and started serving ourselves. Right?
Amen.
Don't get me wrong, it's not everybody. Some of us here are servants. But some of us, and I would say not even in this body here, but yeah, in this body. All right, I'm trying to powder puff it. All right, some of us ain't doing what we're called to do. Plain, simple, squared away. All right, let's just kick the chair, the feet out from underneath the stool and make you stand up right now. All right? And I'm not doing this to try to get you to do anything. I'm doing this for you to examine yourself.
Amen.
Because Jesus, over the next few parables, is going to tell us about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to talk about that midnight cry. He's going to talk about those ones who are ready and those ones who are not ready. And whether you're ready or not really will show where you'll live all of eternity at.
Right.
The next few parables that we're going to be going over today is going to be that faithful servant. The next one is the 10 virgins. After that is the talents. And after that are the sheep and goats. All three of these, Jesus is talking to those who would believe in him. He's talking to those who say that they're Christians. He's talking to those who proclaim him as Lord. The servants of the Most High God. We need to examine ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. Because I can't examine you. What you do really is none of my business. But I want to make sure that you know the connection you have with God.
Amen.
Right? And that's what we're talking about. Matthew 24:36. But of that, Jesus is expressing, and he's been talking about the day that he's coming and stuff like that. See, nobody knows the day or the hour because Jesus said it this way. But of that day and hour, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming. All right? We talked about some of the signs this morning in Sunday school. Some of the things, the way that the things are going to be looking on the earth. So we might know the time, but we don't know the moment.
Right.
Right? But when that moment happens, just like it was in the days of Noah, when God shut the door to the ark and no more souls were saved. There will come that day where God's going to shut and seal the door of the ark. There's coming that day that nobody else who would come can come.
Amen.
All right? I don't know when that day is, but I want to make sure you're on the right side of the door when it closes.
Amen.
Right? I want to make sure that you're in Christ and there with him permanently. Because that's where he wants you to be. He wants you to be in the kingdom with him, surrounded by his love, surrounded by his grace, kept under the sheltering of his wings, being ministered to and ministering unto others.
Amen.
So how do you get from here to there? What you do next will really show what you really believe about God.
That's right.
Jesus talked about that faithful servant. So if you open your Bibles to chapter 24 of Matthew, and I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer while you search in it, looking it out. Dear Father, I thank you so much, Father. I come before you just seeking that I would disappear, Father, in amongst the words of the Scripture, Lord Jesus, that your word would be heard. Father, that you would adjust our hearts to be in tune with you in such a way that you could whistle and we would come. Lord Jesus, that you would speak it, you would show it, and we would be more than willing to lay our lives down for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, that you would allow us, empower us to be your hands, your feet, and your mouth in this our day, Father, the day of salvation.
Amen.
And we thank you and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And the body said,
Amen.
All right, we're going to pick up reading in 45 through 51. Matthew 24, verse 45. Jesus asked this question. I'm going to propose this question to you, not because it's my word, but because it's Jesus' word. And he's wanting you to ask yourself, who then is a faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkard, or drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day he looketh not for him, and in an hour he is not aware. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word.
Amen.
Look at what Jesus was saying there. First he asked the question, who is a faithful and a wise servant? So who is a faithful and a wise servant? What makes you a faithful or a wise and faithful servant? What makes you, when God looks at you, he says, faithful and wise? Or he looks at you and say, evil and unjust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus, he's talking about servants in the household of God. Mm-hmm. All right? He's not talking about the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the church.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You cannot be considered in the Bible a servant and not be saved.
There you go.
Right? Mm-hmm. You can't be that. You cannot say that you're a servant of God and a servant of the world in the same breath. Because you're either one or the other.
Right.
See, if you're lukewarm, you're vomit.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so God is laying out here. He's asking this question. Who then is that wise and faithful servant? So let me ask you. Who is an obedient? The key word here that makes a difference is obedience.
Amen.
Right? Because Jesus is coming back and he's going to be looking at some things. Were you obedient with what the Lord gave you?
Amen.
Did God entrust you with some spiritual gifts? Did he entrust you with some things that he says, when I come back, I'm going to have you give an account with what you had from me? Right? What I gave you, what did you do with it? See, here this faithful servant, he says, he gives me, the Lord hath made, this is 45, made him ruler over his household. Whose household? The Lord's household. All right? So God has allowed you, given you certain things. What did he give you any of your spiritual gift for? Say it out loud.
His purpose.
Right. For he uses you for the encouragement of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Right? That's why you are born again. That's why he gave you certain spiritual gifts. That's why he allowed you to be a speaker, to be a teacher, to be a floor mopper, to be a toilet cleanser. Whatever he called you to be a toenail clipper, if that's what God has called you to be, that's what you're to be. And you're to be that at the best of your ability.
Amen.
At the very hardest you work. And it doesn't matter if you're a carpenter, a farmer, or an office worker, or whatever. If God has called you to that, you are a Christian first.
Amen.
Right? And wherever you go, whatever you do, you put on Jesus Christ in front of you. And you serve the body. You serve the people. You are a minister of the Most High God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
See, if you believe that, then our lives ought to be showing it.
Right.
Right? If you really and truly believe that the speed limit is 45, right, and you blow by that sign at 70 miles an hour, although you knew it, did you believe it?
That's right.
Didn't believe it until the blue light showed up in the back window, right? Woo, whoa, boy, whoa, boy. Right? That's when you believed it. When you got the ticket. But when you got the ticket, it was too late. Jesus is telling us these parables right here because he's saying that there's a time that nobody knows the hour, nobody knows the day. And that when that time comes, you need to be found on the right side of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You need to be found not thinking that you are his, but actually his. And
Amen.
There are some evidences
Amen.
That you belong to Jesus Christ. If you are born again, there should be some fruit
in
your life.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, I'm not a fruit inspector. That's not my job. It's your job to examine your own fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking what God has given you, right, and giving it the way that the Lord would give it? Right? Feeding people, loving people, clothing
mm-hmm.
the naked, giving water to the thirsty. Are we doing that? See, Jesus is coming, and he's coming, I believe, sooner than what we think.
Right.
I really do. I think we're closer to that time than what most of us really mm-hmm. believe in our hearts and that we are. Paul tells us this in Romans and in 1 Corinthians. In Romans, I'll hit a little bit, but 1 Corinthians is really where we're going to park here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul writes to the church. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. All right? So if he's beseeching whom?
Brethren.
Who are brethren?
Fellow
believers, it's the church, right? I am beseeching you, I'm begging you, brothers, right? I'm begging you because you're part of the body of Christ. By the mercies of God that you present, what? Your bodies, a living sacrifice. We're supposed to be holy unto God. That's your reasonable service.
Amen.
It's the least you can do.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The least you can do is be holy before God. Be holy before your neighbor. Be righteous because he is righteous. That's if you don't do nothing else, this is the starting point.
Amen.
Now, you can't do that without the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. But when you have the Holy Ghost in you, all things are possible.
Amen.
With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Awesome.
So if you're not born again, you can't mm-hmm. even start to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this is for the church. Right? That's what he's taught. It's for the church. It's your reasonable service. And be not conformed. What does conformed mean?
Made like.
Changed into.
Yeah.
All right? Don't be changed into the world. Don't be conformed into this world. But be ye transformed
Amen.
By the renewing of your mind. That tells me that there's a mental problem. We're all mentally messed up.
Amen.
Right? Our mind is born outside of Christ. We can't even think like God until we have the Holy Spirit. And then he illuminates you in your mind.
Amen.
See, before I knew Christ, I didn't know it was wrong to do the things I did.
Right.
I was just a dog. I did things that dogs did. Before you knew Jesus Christ, you were an enemy of God. And you just did whatever pleased your flesh.
Right?
It's just, that's what you were. But God one day saw you where you were, and he cast his love upon you. He called you by name, and he changed you out of darkness into his light. He called you from a sinful enemy of God to a child of the Most High God, right? He gave you a seat at the kingdom with him. The least you can do is serve him.
Amen. Amen.
The least you can do is be his hands and his feet and his mouth and his heart in this our wicked day. The least we can do is pray for our leaders.
Right, yeah.
You don't have to like them. I really do not like Cuomo. I don't like anything he does. But you know what I do? I fall on my face daily that his soul would get saved. Right? I don't like most of the folks that are in politics. I don't like most of the folks that are that call themselves Christian and ain't.
I know. Hypocrites.
Right? Hypocrites. Right. They're doing a horrible injustice to the body of Christ, to God himself.
Yes.
But I don't condemn them. I pray for them. It's not my job to condemn them. What is my job is to make sure this vessel, everybody go like this, put your hands. This vessel, it's you, it's you, it's your vessel.
Yes.
You be holy, you be righteous before God.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking at somebody else's fruit basket, start checking out your own.
That's right.
Well, I sure wish that other person could have heard this sermon.
Yeah.
I wish he would have read his Bible. Hey, why don't you just stop worrying about them, start worrying about you?
Amen.
You know, how can you complain about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a big, huge 4x4 plywood plank
right
in front of your own face? Don't complain about somebody else's grass till you cut your own down.
That's right.
Right? See, it's not your business what they do. It's your business what you do through the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He says, and don't be conformed to this world. If you're a born-again servant of God, you ought not look like the world.
No.
You know that? You're... Okay.
Mini skirts up to your...
I wasn't going there, but okay. I was thinking more like Facebook or Twitter, right? Does your Facebook page look just like the world's Facebook page? Personally, I don't do Facebook. But I like to face the book.
Amen.
If I'm facing the book, then the other book don't matter.
Right.
I've said this 1,000 times. Your Facebook friends really ain't your friends.
No, man.
I mean, they're really not. I have 750,000 Facebook friends. Well, if you're thirsty, which one of them's going to bring you a glass of water? Right? A friend is going to come. I'll bring you a glass of water, she says. She lives by a creek. She can get her own. But you know what I'm saying? You know, God has called us to be holy, to be separate, not to look like the world. Why is it that most churches today paint their ceilings black and put strobe lights in? To look more like the world. If I look more like the world, then I'll call the world to me. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what Paul said. We're not supposed to be conformed to the world. We're supposed to be conformed to the image of God.
Amen.
We're to preach Him, Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead.
Right.
We're supposed to teach ourselves to be His hands, His feet, obedient to the Most High God.
Amen.
We need to be seeking the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the church has it so twisted up.
Yeah.
You are not God.
That's
you're not God of your own life. You're not. You are a servant. You are a slave to the Most High God.
That's right. Amen.
So why do we look so much like the world? You know what? Really, if we're supposed to imitate Christ, if when the world sees us, they're supposed to see the risen Jesus Christ. When the world sees us, they're supposed to see hands full of love and care and compassion and healing and meeting the needs.
Mm-hmm.
But they're seeing a lot of people with signs, God hates gays. God does this, God does that. And putting a bad face mm-hmm. on who Jesus really is.
Yeah.
I got news for you. God does not hate homosexuals.
No.
He hates homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Actually, let's not even go there. God hates sexual sin. You can be a heterosexual and have sexual sin. God hates that.
Right.
If you ain't married, don't do it. God hates thievery.
Amen.
God hates lying.
Mm-hmm.
God hates pride.
Right. Bless him.
He hates a haughty heart.
Yeah.
See, those are the things in our mind. We're supposed to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good.
Right.
The world ought to be seeing good in us.
Amen.
They ought to be seeing love in us. They ought to be seeing joy in us. They ought to be seeing peace in us. How many Christians today are so upset about the election right now that they have no peace? Personally, I don't give a rat's rectum about which side who wins the presidential election. I do not care. God's in control. My kingdom's not here, it's there. Sorry about that for anybody with soft ears.
That's plain language.
Plain language. I tell it flat, baby girl. I really do. And so, but we need to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect, the perfect will of God. Are we showing the perfect will of God when we're being nasty to Black Lives Matter? It's okay if they're nasty to us, right? Spurgeon put it this way, the birds fly in the air, right? All of them do, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair.
Right, right.
I have another way to put that. It's a little cruder. I'm not going to do it.
It's all over my car windshield. I know what you're talking about.
I love you so much. You're such a blessing to my heart. It's like my grandma right here.
I mean,
she just lays it out plain and simple. But even in us, I need the renewing of my mind.
Amen.
Folks, I have not made it. I'm up here and God has given me the gift to speak, right?
Yes.
And the responsibility to do it and not pull no punches.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I cannot care about what you think.
Right.
I must preach the word of God.
You are real. You got to be real and not care what people think.
That's the truth.
They won't get you to heaven.
There you go. But we need to prove in ourselves what is good to God. What does God want of you, servant of the Most High God? You're supposed to be providing meat for people, all right? And he means sustenance. You could take that word meat and use it as sustenance. You need to be whatever people need you to be.
That's right.
Right? Because it doesn't matter our lives, our will, our wants. We're no longer ours.
Amen.
Right? I have been crucified with Christ. Yeah? Do you believe that? It's not I that lives, but Christ that lives within me.
Amen.
When people see you, they ought to see the image of the living God.
Yeah.
They ought to hear it in your voice. They ought to hear it in your hands. They ought to see it in your walk. Mm-hmm. Your very lifestyle ought to be permeating Christ.
Amen.
In everything. And that takes obedience. That is what a faithful servant is. Mm-hmm. Right? God wants us to be faithful. Above all things. Well, in all things, not above all things. Because God's above all things.
Bless him.
But if we're walking in him, he gives us the ability to do whatever he has called us
Amen.
To.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, it goes through the fruits of the Spirit. We all know that kind of stuff, right? Do you know that none of those are for you? Now concerning the spiritual gifts, amen, when you get there, this is verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Say amen when you get there. Do you want me to come to the pages for you? I'm on it today, ain't I? Forgive me. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Know you not that you were Gentiles carried away? Unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Amen.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. The manifestation of the Spirit of God in you is not for you. Mm-hmm. It's for everybody else.
Amen.
That's why we're supposed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together regardless of what the governor says.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Why? Because you shouldn't come here for yourself. You know that? You come here, you come into the body of believers for the believer that's sitting next to you or across the aisle from you. They need you because you have a certain gift that God gave to you, but not for yourself, but for them. Now, you might enjoy that spiritual gift. Praise God for that. But it's not yours. You didn't earn it. You didn't go make it. God gave it to you, and he gave it that you would profit with all. So the Holy Spirit gives you, and then tonight's going to go through a list of the gifts of the Spirit and all that kind of stuff. That's all beside the point. Whatever your gift is not for you, it's for the next person.
Amen.
Whatever God has given you is not for you to lock up in a safe in your heart and say, oh, I have the spirit of discernment, right? So I'm going to gossip about everybody else. Stop! That's crazy thinking.
Amen.
Right? That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love each other, care for each other, walk in the obedience of the Lord with one another. As he goes through the working of miracles and the prophecy, discerning of spirits, that's in verse 10. Verse 11 says this, but all these worketh, and he's talking about the list of the spiritual gifts, all right? All these worketh that one and the self same Spirit dividing to every man severally or individually as he wills. Amen? Now check out what God gives you the Holy Spirit, and he gives you the gift that you have, or gifts. You may have more than one of those gifts, and that's cool. But it's not for you, like I've been saying over and over again. It's for everybody else, right? And so he says, verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Amen.
All right? We are not individuals, right? We may be individual, like this finger's an individual, but it ain't worth nothing without the hand.
Yeah.
Right? You cut off your finger, it may jiggle for a few minutes, but it's dead already.
That's right.
When you sever yourself from the body of Christ, when you walk away from the holiness of God, when you choose to do your will, not his will, you have successfully walked away from God.
That's right.
You might jiggle for a little while, but already you're dead. The only way that you can make that finger come back to life is sew it back to the body.
Right.
Amen? That that parable or story, it wasn't a parable, the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told. You know, the one who took his inheritance and he went and squandered it, wasted it, until he lost everything that he had and he ended up eating with the pigs. Y'all know the story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Now, if he would have died in that pigsty, what would have happened to him? He would have died separated from the Father.
Right.
All right? He was that finger that cut himself off and he went and did whatever he wanted to. He was that servant of God that chose to use his servanthood for his own good, not for the better of the body. But praise God, there's that part where he comes to his own senses.
Yeah.
Amen? You might be one of those jiggling fingers out there wiggling around right now, thinking that you're alive, but you're really dead. Right? You think you made it, but you're really not there. It's time to come back to the Father.
Amen.
And he will put that robe around you. He'll put that ring, that signet ring on you. He will kill the fatted calf for you. But you got to come back. Realize that you're eating among the pig. Right? I'm not saying that you're having pork sandwiches. But that you are eating the slop of the world and not the riches
right,
of God.
Right.
And what the world sees in you is you are one who is set apart, sanctified by the Most
Amen.
High God, called a servant of the Most High God. And you have done like Jesus talked about in the parable of the unfaithful servant, started not remembering or thinking that the Lord's going to come back and he's going to judge you. And you're doing the things that the
right.
world does. You're getting drunk with the drunken. You're leaving your first love and going back to the world. You're doing like Peter talked, or actually I think it's a Proverbs where it talks about it, where the dog returns to his own vomit.
Yeah.
42 seems to come to my mind. Proverbs 42, 40, somewhere around in there. Where he talks about those who should know better
yes.
are going back to the way that they were saved from.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How many Christians are in that right now? Mm-hmm. Living by fear and not by faith.
Right. Fear is sin.
Spirit is
sin.
Living by sight. Walking by sight and not by faith. Hoarding up for yourselves. Right? For the day. Ah, listen. And there's nothing wrong with having a savings account. There's nothing wrong with having some change in your pocket. I don't. But there's nothing wrong with having that. I would have died if a quarter fell out my pocket. Anyhow, you see, there's nothing wrong with having stuff, but when you hoard things up and not give it the way that God told you to give it, when you hoard not just your physical wealth, but the spiritual gifts. And I think that's the most important thing.
Amen.
Because God gave you to be a worker, a ruler in his house.
Mm-hmm.
And each and every one of us
mm-hmm.
has that spot, has that place. Now, what are we doing with that? Are we taking what God gave us and holding it to us? Or are we taking what God gave us and pouring it out like a river of life? It's a thought.
Amen. That's your joy.
That is your joy. That's the joy. That's the peace. That's the love.
Yeah.
That's the real giving
yeah.
that God wants us to have. He really does not. Well, Mike brought it up the other day in Saturday prayer. And he says, well, I've heard it said that a lot of people believe that if you die with the most toys, you win.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You just got a lot of junk somebody else got to sell.
Yeah.
Because when you die, you're going the same way you came.
That's
naked and broke.
Exactly right.
You know, you're not. When you leave, you're gone. All right? Everything that you gathered here on this earth
yeah.
stays here on this earth.
Yeah.
The only thing you bring with you to the Father, to the kingdom, is the souls that you loved
Amen.
To the point of salvation.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only thing you bring. Everything else stays. Everything else rots. Everything
right.
else gets willed over or the state takes it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just stuff. So those spiritual gifts that we have, that blessing that the Lord has had, he says, when he comes back in Matthew 24, that was verse 45, okay? This is 46 and 47, all right? Back in Matthew. So all that was just talking about that one verse, okay? Now this here talks about, blessed is that servant when the Lord comes, finds him so doing. Who wants to be blessed of God? I do, you do. You really, really want to be blessed of God?
Mm-hmm.
Then get off your pew. Right? Because the blessing ain't happening here. Right?
Amen.
That's not where the blessing comes from. I'm sitting in church 3 days a week, la-di-da-da-da. Who cares?
All good works.
Amen? And good works will send you right to hell.
That's
right.
Right?
It's not about coming here. It's about going there.
Amen.
Right? You come here to get fed. You come here to get armed. You come here to get the righteousness of Jesus Christ and how to do it. And then you're supposed to go out of this building, out there to the lost and dying, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, those in prison, those in hospitals. Of course, now with the COVID, the dead. I got the COVID. And so anyhow, you can't go visit people the way that you should, right? Because the government won't let you. But that doesn't mean that you can't love your neighbor. That doesn't mean that you can't go to the local pizza parlor and drop off some pizza money, right? Have you ever thought of doing that? That doesn't mean that you can't come to the body of Christ and hear the prayer and join along beside them in prayer.
Amen.
That we could come together and hear the confession of sin.
Yes.
And minister to one another
mm-hmm.
in that. All too often, way too often, the church comes, and if they know something about somebody else, well, first thing they want to do is jump on you like a bunch of vultures and
mm-hmm.
pick your bones dry. Church, that's not what we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
When I find somebody found in a fault or caught in a fault, I'm supposed to come along beside that person.
Yeah.
Not to kick them because I'm closer. All right? Come beside that person. You put your arm around that person. You share your compassion with that person.
Amen.
You show them the love of God in the body of Christ.
Amen.
How will the world know that you're Christian?
By our love.
By your love. Amen. By your love for who?
Others.
One for another. All right? By your love for the body of Christ. See, we can say we love something and really not love it at all.
There's something about when I go into a store, you kind of know that person you can say amen to or you can talk to.
Yeah.
Because God has that connection for
you. Well, there's that connection, or you can say that I'm praying for you, and if they throw an egg at you, you know not to do it.
I don't have any eggs.
No. But anyhow, Jesus talked about this same parable, the same understanding. When one is obedient in the small things, he makes him a ruler over many things. Mm-hmm. That's Luke 16 and 10. Jesus' teaching is closely related to what we're talking about here. And he that is faithful and that which is least is faithful also, and that which is must. And he is that is just in the least is also, or is just unjust in, excuse me, said that backwards. I wrote it backwards, but my mind's correcting me. All right, let's start all over. 16:10. Let me just open my Bible to that because I think I wrote it incorrectly. Anybody have that problem?
Dyslexia.
Dyslexia. Yeah. In my hearing too. Yeah, so yes, and if you didn't know, I am dyslexic. Everything I see in words and letters, I see upside down and backwards. So everything that you read regular, all of my stuff is mirrored image.
You're a miracle.
God's a miracle worker. Amen. So that's funny. Stop. All right. It's not that funny. Verse 10 of chapter 16 of Luke. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. If ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? All right. If you can't be faithful with the things that you have on this earth, who's going to give you the real riches? Who's going to entrust you with the things that really matter? The souls of men, the hearts and the lives of people. If you can't be faithful in the things of this world, this tangible stuff, do you think God's really going to trust you with the things that are really important to Him? Because remember, God don't care about gold. He uses it for asphalt. Right? The streets are paved with gold, right? That's what we learned, right? And He don't care for all this stuff that we call wealth, all this stuff that we call important. It's pavement.
Right.
See, we got it all messed up in our minds. We think that the things of this earth are the most important things. Mm-hmm. But this earth is going to pass away with a fervent heat. Nothing of this world is going to last. Mm-hmm. There's coming a day where there'll be no more oceans, no more seas.
Right. Right.
Can you even imagine that? Because we got what? A big bunch of the earth is covered in water, like two-thirds or something like that? How many? 75% is covered in water. Right? And there's coming a day where that's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Thunk it. Just think about that for a minute. Just wrap your mind around that. Everything we think we know, we don't know. All the stuff in this world, all the things that we think are valuable, are really not valuable at all.
Right.
You know what Jesus cares about the most? Eternal lives matter.
That's right.
Thank you. I got it on the sign up front. Right? I just thought about that. Eternal lives matter. God don't care about your temporal life. It is not His concern. That's not what He's worried about. Because when you die, you enter into real life.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Right.
And all these worldly things, all these other things will be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I talk about other things, I'm not talking about a hefty bank account, food, clothing, shelter. That's what Jesus is talking about. All right? Who here would be happy in a single wide mobile home? Amen. If I got Jesus, that's all I need. Right? I'd be happy in a cardboard box underneath 390 in the summertime. Gotta add that, because I do not like the cold. I'm sure when I get to heaven, it's going to be a balmy 75 degrees all the time. It's just going to be nice. You know? or whatever the spiritual body needs. So we need to be faithful in the little things. These things on earth are little. And if we're faithful in these little things, God will entrust us with the greater things. You know that you just don't start being a leader of the church? You know what you start with? The kids' room. Or floor cleaner. And then when you're faithful in that, then God will bring you to a different spot.
Amen.
And when you're faithful in that, God will bring you to a different spot.
Yes.
When you're faithful in that, God will bring you to a different spot. And if he really don't like you, he'll make you a pastor. You know? No, I take that. I'm sorry, Lord. I said that on my flesh. This is the greatest job any man can have. It really is. But, oh my goodness.
But it's a hard,
there ain't
hard,
nothing.
Lonely.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. If I didn't have you, I'd have no friends at all. See, and we're supposed to do these things on the earth, fulfilling the drive of the Holy Spirit in us until we come into the unity of Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7 reads this way. Endeavoring. What does endeavoring mean? Work it. Work it out. You're struggling. You're working this out.
Push
work
forward.
To keep the unity of the Spirit. You mean I got to work to keep unity? You're right. Yeah. Each of us do. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not easy to love you guys and for you guys either. Right? Because we all have our own thoughts. We all have our own minds. And we don't always click together. So we got to work to make it work.
Right?
Anybody here married? Amen. All y'all married? Doesn't it just really stink sometimes?
Absolutely.
Amen. Sometimes it does. And you got to work those hard things out. You got to get together. You got to work those things out. You got to endeavor to have unity. Because you're two separate minds, two separate spirits, two different ideas.
That's true.
Amen.
That's right.
So,
it's
so you,
like Bill Cosby's father.
I don't know.
He sat on his mother's beautiful hat.
Uh-huh.
She didn't say a thing.
Yeah.
She didn't pick up the ball for a fight. And that's what we have to do.
Oh, yeah. There
Let
you go.
Let it roll.
I thought you were saying we had to sit on each other's hat. Anyhow, we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, right? Bound up in peace. verse 4 says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Amen?
Amen.
I'm in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. You're like, where did he go? I thought I said that earlier. But y'all need to pay attention. All right, I drive like a madman. I'm taking right turns, left turns. Just hold on. We'll get there. And so Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the oneness that we have in God, the unity we have in God. All right? Verse 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Stay in your lane. Right? That's what he's talking about. Because God's in control of one God, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All that oneness.
Amen.
All right? And God gave you certain gifts. Right? Those are your gifts. Stay in your lane. You're not a preacher. You're a piano player. Right? You're a singer. You know, there's just things that you're called to do. Right? You will not catch me playing that piano. Even in the quiet when nobody else is here. Don't touch it. It's not my gig.
Right. Exactly.
So God gives us according to the measure of the gift of Christ in you. But see, what he gave you that gift for, what he gave you that gift of the Holy Spirit for, is that you would minister that to other people.
Amen.
It's not for us. It's for everyone else.
Right.
Pour it out. Don't hold it back. Give it all. I'm giving it all. Up to you.
Amen.
Different group of singers, but the same thought, right? We're giving it for the glory of God.
Yeah.
But then there's that other side of the coin. Back in Matthew 24, 48 through 49, talks about that evil servant.
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing what God has called you to, you're a good, faithful servant whom the Lord has made ruler over his house, and he's given you his authority, and he sealed you with the Holy Ghost. He's allowed you to minister, or actually he's called you to give meat in due season. See, it's not that he just gave it to you. He expects you to use it.
Amen.
He expects you to invest it. He expects you to take what God has given to you and pour it out into other people's lives.
Amen. That's right.
Because it's not for you, it's for them.
Right?
Right? And so, but the one who says, well, my Lord's not coming, he delays his coming. God's really not going to know if I use my spiritual gift.
Right.
Really. I mean, yeah, I got the identification of the Holy Spirit in me, but, you know, he really isn't that concerned. No, God is that concerned. He does love you. He has called
Amen.
You. He is expecting you to invest what he has given to you.
Right.
He wants you to be a good servant, but he will also say that servant is evil if he does not do what he's called to do. If you start saying, God's not looking, he delays his coming. I can do what I want to. I have free will, right? Anybody hear Christians say that? I can drink and go to the Hoochie Cooch Club all I want to because I got the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I can do those things. Why? Because I have the grace of God. Paul wrote it this way.
Do not tempt the Lord your God.
He wrote that, but that is where I'm going. Should we sin that grace may abound?
No.
God forbid. Right? We should not willfully do something against the call of God.
That's right.
God forbid. God forbid that. Stop it. And you can't stop it on your own.
No.
But if you know that the Lord's coming, and when's he coming? I don't know.
Anytime.
He's coming. I know he's coming. There are things that are happening, and we see it happening right now. Mm-hmm. I know that he's on the threshold. He's coming. And there's one day soon going to be that sound, that trumpet. There's coming soon that day that God's going to call, and he's going to have an account for us. Kind of ask, did you do what I told you to? Or are you one of those who would say, Lord, Lord, like Jesus said? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will be welcome into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth, what does that doeth mean? Obedient. It means do, right? But he who doeth the Father's will. What is the Father's will?
Be obedient.
Obedient. Take whatever God has given
you,
to you.
And he wants us to absolutely surrender.
Absolutely surrender.
So that
and
anything that comes our way, we don't question.
But do we do that?
No. Well, it's hard. You got to pray a lot.
You also got to be obedient. It's not so much that we know it. We can know these things, right?
Right.
But until you do it, you really don't believe it.
Exactly.
It's like that speed limit sign I told you about a second ago. You know what it says. You know.
Yep.
You know what it says. But until you do it, you don't believe it.
That's right.
Obedience is much better than sacrifice.
Oh, yes. Amen?
Amen. Obedience.
Mm-hmm.
That good servant is the one who gave meat in due season. The unfaithful servant said that he starts to smite his fellow servants. He starts to mistreat the other people in the church. Gossipers, backbiters, ministers of hateful things. Not caring for the concern of other people, especially in the church. James said this, if your brother or sister come to you naked and destitute of food,
mm-hmm.
And you say, oh, I'll pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of my house. Then your religion is worthless. It's not anything.
Amen.
So that good and faithful servant isn't just the one who knows what to do. He's the one who does it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when God comes, and you got to ask yourself this, because I am not your keeper. Right? You got to ask yourself, when the Lord comes, will he find me so doing?
Amen.
because if he finds you so doing, you're that good and faithful servant.
Amen.
You are that wise and faithful servant. But if you're not so doing, he kicks you out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah.
Which side of that you want to be on? Jesus said, don't fear just he who is able to take your life.
Right.
I mean, so what? They kill me, send me home early. Big deal. Right? Don't fear that. But fear the one who's able to take your life and cast your soul into
Amen.
Hell.
Amen.
Hey, you need to fear God enough to obey him.
Amen.
You know, I didn't obey my parents because I liked them. I obeyed my mom because I feared her.
Yeah.
Right? Clean your room. I'm not going to clean. I ain't scared of you. You might say that once, but when you're spitting your teeth out of your mouth, you won't say it again. Right? I don't know, y'all probably wouldn't raise that way, but my mom would smack the snot out of you. Right? And she didn't back down. She didn't ask twice. Right? And I feared her. Right? Why do I vacuum so well? Because my mom would beat me with an extension cord if I did not do it. Right? Now that sounds harsh. It does. It sounds harsh. But I tell you what, my clothes and my if you go to my laundry room right now and in my place where I keep my stuff, everything I have is rolled exactly 7 3/4 inches round. Everything. My underwear are exactly 2 3/4 inches rolled. Everything. All of my shirts are hung and buttoned by the top button and facing in the same direction. All of my socks are folded in a particular way. All right? I didn't do that on my own. I learned to do that because if I didn't do that, my mom would take and throw everything else out on the floor. And you had to refold it all. Right? So I learned out of fear to obey my mom. Because she did not play these little games. My mom never said, you are my best friend. Mm-mm. She said, I am your mama. You will do what I told you to, or you will limp away and wish that you did what I told you to. Right? Jesus loves us that same way. Remember, if you are that good, wise, and faithful servant, you're an obedient servant to him. And if you're not obedient servant to him, he casts you out. Now, you can't even begin to be an obedient servant without the indwelling spirit.
Amen.
So, right. First step is get saved.
Right.
Right? Second step is obey even when you don't understand.
Amen.
See, I didn't understand why I had to make hospital corners on my bed. I had no idea why we had to do that. And I'm going to be sleeping in it in a couple hours, right? Big deal. Why even make it up? Just leave it wadded up in a corner. I'll pull it over myself. Right? I didn't know I needed that until I got married. My wife loves it when I make the bed. Because you can bounce a quarter on that thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's made up right. It feels good. Right? It's nice. My wife appreciates it. I didn't know I was going to get married to a wonderful lady that likes hospital corners. She'd like me to fold her underwear too, but I don't do that. I got enough time to do my own. Anyhow, folks, I love you. And this is just the beginning of what Jesus is talking about for people.
Amen.
To be good and faithful servants to him. Jesus asked this very starting question, are you a wise and faithful servant? All right? He asked that to his disciples. He's saying, are you? I'm asking you that same question right now. Are you? If not, you can be.
Amen.
You can be.
Amen.
All right, praise God. I ran out of things to say. Ain't you all happy? Amen. Remember Wednesday? I'll go finish with this. We talked about the faithful servant. Next week we're going to talk about the wise and the foolish virgins. After that we're going to talk about the talents, that God gives talents and he expects a return. All right, and then he's going to talk about the sheep and the goats. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, the next 4 weeks sermon, you'll know what it is. So study up, all right? And please, check what I'm saying to you. Examine that in the Word of God.
Amen.
And if you find it to be false, come talk to me about it. And if you can prove that that I'm speaking to you alive, I'll stop, but I'm pretty sure I'm squared away. You know, as I, unlike y'all, this is my job. I spend hours right there in that little cubbyhole,
yeah,
praying, reading, fasting.
I'm sure.
And asking God. And so, but anyhow, I don't want you to think that I'm the only one who has answers. Right? I don't. You are the body of Christ.
Amen.
You have spiritual gifts.
Amen.
And I'm not so smart I can't be taught.
Right?
So,
yeah, no,
check me out. Well, you might be. You've been in it for a long time, woman.
Anyhow.
Long time. Anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we do thank you, Lord Jesus.
You.
We praise you.
Praise
Lord,
you.
I pray that even with the levity and even with the little rabbit trails, Father,
mm-hmm,
that you took your word and it will not return void.
Amen.
I pray, Father, for the church that's here today, the ecclesia,
yes,
those who are called out of the darkness into their light. Father, and if you have touched hearts and you're asking us to be more involved, I pray,
yes,
Lord, that you would move and direct us into that. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We pray for those who may not know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, and they just don't understand yet. I pray again through this teaching that you would illuminate their hearts, their minds to the high calling of Christ.
Yes,
Lord, we thank you and we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.